Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Whoa, welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gabfest where a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought. It's like a herpes flare-up for your mind.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I'm done. I'm leaving.
We're quitting. We're all...
I boycott. I boycott the show.
We're all quitting the show. Listen, I know that, you know, the gay cold has been going around. We were, like, locked up for 18 months. Our immune systems are going crazy. I know people who are like, I have 17 cold sores. And it's like, girl, it's going to be okay. We're going to move through it. Our immune systems are all just processing and going through something. So we're like that, but for your brain.
We never fully go away.
We always live with you.
We stay with you forever, popping up, irritating you, itching you.
The worst possible moments.
Yes, doing everything we can, frankly, to keep you from getting laid.
Oh my God, so true. Oh, so true. Oh, it's the worst when you have like a really hot date and you have like a cold sore in your mouth and you're like, well, I can't kiss and I can't suck you off, but my butt
just cancel.
Still, my butt still works. No, bitch, my butt still works. It's fine.
Some of us like foreplay.
I'm just a hole, sir. Because I have cold sores everywhere else.
Except in the one place where it matters most.
Oh,
honestly.
Exactly.
So then it's like, no, we're good to go. We're good to go.
So then we were talking before we started rolling about a little thing that we've been doing this summer. I love shaving my armpits in the summer. It makes me feel so sleek and sexy.
Yes. You know what I've learned as part of my transition? Body hair. You don't need it. It's just unnecessary. It can feel unsightly.
Yeah.
It can make you hotter and sweatier. I have been shaving my legs religiously, and while I'm not still doing it like every single day, I love it. I love the soft, smooth, silky feeling of my legs. It makes me feel sexy. And frankly, after a time in which I didn't feel sexy for a long time because there was a literal global pandemic and we thought everyone was going to die.
Right.
Now I can get laid.
That.
You remember that?
You haven't forgotten?
Like a cold sore that won't leave you at the worst of times. Now it's like I can be in bed by myself and just rub my legs together and I like have a little mini orgasm. It's great.
I mean, it's, you know, we are a body hair positive podcast.
Yes, we are.
It's like what we like it on other people. We like you to like it on yourselves. This is not a moment of shame. Mm-mm. It's just for some of us, who have body hair. I wouldn't say I have a lot of body dysmorphia in general, but I've always, I remember going through puberty and just being like, oh, I hate this. I hate it. Like, I don't like it on myself. And so it's, you know, I had a lot of shame around like, oh, removing body hair felt like not masculine and blah, blah, blah in my 20s. Now I'm just like, bitch, do what makes you feel good.
Do what makes you feel like your best self. I have always hated my facial hair. And that's the thing that is like one of the most sort of dysmorphic parts of my body for me being trans. But let me make it clear, as Joe just said, I love body hair on you.
On you.
I love it anywhere, everywhere. When it's the sort of situation where like 100 feet away, I can't tell if you're hairy or if you're wearing a sweater. I love that. I absolutely love it. You don't need to tame it. You don't need to do anything. I will lovingly comb it for you.
Oh, Den is braiding. Den is braiding the back hair.
I might braid. I might get a little excited. I'm fully into back hair. I'm fully into back hair, by the way.
Nice.
Just know that this is the thing that I like to do. You don't have to do it. But if you do it, lotion up, and it feels real good. A little glitter lotion, too. So you sparkle like a vampire from Twilight.
I couldn't help but hear, if you do it. I'm so sorry. I'm 12.
Someone's mind is always on poop.
I am Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and I don't currently have a cold sore. I am a cold sore. I identify as a cold sore. Sorry to bring it back there.
Oh, my God. I am Den Michelle Norris, and I'm a reader, a writer, a former figure skater, and I identify as the poop emoji.
Oh, that is
there
fair.
We go.
You might have noticed that there are only two of us here this week. We're doing something a little bit different. Den and I are going to play a game and introduce a segment to you. And it's just, I mean, you're stuck with us this week. I'm so sorry. So on the menu for this week, we start the show by climbing to the top. We give you a little taste of Bowen Yang. And we end the show by slowly drifting off to sleep. Take it away.
I'm feeling a little peckish, so let's start the top of the show the way any good top should. A little tease, a little something to wet your palates, our Amuse Boosh. So we're going to amuse your booshes today with...
Have a little game for y'all.
Ho has
it's,
a game
for us. I don't
know
if we used to call it this, but it's top of the morning to ya. That's my, like, really bad Irish accent.
Personally, I love a top in the morning.
We are not a positionist show. We believe binaries are stupid and there's no such thing as tops or bottoms, except that tops suck. But we also find tops and bottoms hilarious. So in this game, I'm going to give you pairs of cultural items, okay? And we're going to decide who is the top or which is the top and who is the bottom.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. This could get controversial, y'all. Get
Are you
excited.
Ready? Okay, we're going to start easy. We're going to start easy, okay?
Okay.
Sunny and Cher.
Oh,
Cher is the top.
Cher is the way. I think pegging him is how she said hello the first time they met. She just whipped it right out and they were ready to go. He went on his back, heels to Jesus.
And I love a high femme. Camp top,
yes,
which is what Cher is.
My
partner and I have been watching a lot of old episodes of the Cher show lately. I don't know why. It is the worst TV show of all time. Heron Walker wrote an incredible essay about Cher's flop era, which is like, this is the era that Cher didn't have enough money and was trying desperately. There's an episode, I think, with Elton John and Bette Midler, some shit all in Nothing But Glitter. I mean, the show is like a cocaine binge. It is just like, it makes you feel like you're on cocaine. God. I'm pretty sure it's made of cocaine.
Was there glitter everywhere? Glitter and sequins everywhere?
Everywhere, baby.
The Cher brand.
Everywhere.
All Bob Mackie all the time. Such a good time. I also just feel like Cher's Twitter presence is an example of her high femme camp
top.
The permanent caps lock.
It is just so unself-aware.
So
she
yeah,
has not
exactly.
talked to a normal person in decades.
No.
Okay, you ready for the
beautiful.
Next one, D?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ketchup and mustard.
Oh. you know, I'm gonna go with ketchup
as the
top.
Interesting.
Because I personally prefer mustard on a hot dog.
Okay.
And so, to me, they go together like top and bottom.
Oh, interesting. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, the hot dog is the top.
The hot dog is the top in that analogy.
So I think the mustard is the top because it's a little spicy.
It's a little spicy.
You know,
little
you
red.
Love an Italian top. Not that mustard is Italian, but, you know, it's a little spicy.
I do love an Italian top. It is a problem. It is an addiction. I am seeking help.
You should. It's a spicy pepperoni.
If any Italian tops want to slide into the DMs and help
me get over my
top addiction.
No,
please feel free.
They would literally be making you get under your top addiction, Den.
Even better.
Oh, God. Mm. Okay, next up. Rihanna and ASAP Rocky.
Rihanna.
No, I think it's Power Verse.
Rihanna.
Rihanna loves taking dick. I'm sorry. Like, she definitely pegs, but she loves taking dick,
That's
too.
Okay, you're right. That's a fair point. She does love taking dick. I think that sexually it's a power verse situation in every other way.
Energetically.
Yes.
Okay, we totally
She's
agree.
An aggro top, and we're here for it.
What about Facebook and Instagram? Who's the top? Who's the bottom?
Oh,
they're both
my
Mark Zuckerberg.
God. Honestly, I think they're both bottoms, and Twitter is the double-ended dildo that they use to get off.
That's a good one, D. I like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Twitter has, like, the actual porn. It's not censored. So I agree.
Twitter's the aggro top, and Twitter's like, I can top both of you at the same time.
You need to write a think piece on this because the internet needs to know we are not ready.
Just a theory.
Okay. This has been my drink for the summer. Who's the top? Who's the bottom? Gin and tonic.
You know, I'm going to say that gin is the top.
Because it fucks you up?
Because it does fuck you up. It's also a little earthy, a little sort of salt of the earth
botanical
vibes.
There's a you're drinking a tree, basically.
You're drinking a strong tree with long, strong roots and powerful branches.
We've turned into Ent porn here on Food for Thought today.
Fully ready for it. And the tonic is sweet and bubbly, much like myself.
Oh, that is.
And we all know I'm a bottom.
Digging
so.
All of your analyses here.
You know, she's got a little something to offer.
What about Frodo Baggins and Samwise Gamgee?
Oh my God.
Talk about body hair.
So much body hair, so little height. I think they're both tops.
Fascinating.
And
that is against canon.
I know. It's fully against canon. I think they're both tops, and I think Legolas might be their bottom.
Oh, I could see. I mean,
yeah.
I feel Legolas gives me femme top vibe. So I'm going to posit something.
Okay.
Just because I'm getting images in my head. I think they're both bottoms, except for when they play you like an accordion between them. And then after that, you braid their foot hair.
Oh my God. I think that's really hot.
We're canceled. We are so canceled.
I would like to see that. Twitter porn. Where can we find that Twitter porn?
Well, I mean, we can write the fanfic right now.
You know what? I'm pulling up the Word doc as we go. Mm-hmm. Y'all look for it in the Substack.
Den is no longer going to write literary fiction. No. Den is fully fanfic porn.
Fanfic
Frodo Baggins from now on.
Yes.
Okay. Next up, Jeff Bezos and his rocket. Who's the top? Who's the bottom?
Oh. I think that until Jeff encountered his rocket, he was a strict and insecure top.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. A little fascistic in a way.
Yes.
If there's poop anywhere, he flips out.
I agree. And that's why, my theory is that that's why the marriage ended. Mackenzie was like, I'm sorry, I need to peck a bitch. And the rocket has topped him.
Oh, I mean, for posterity, mm-hmm. I would like to note that Food for Thought LLC invented spacecraft or sex toy.
Yeah.
We invented
that. Yes,
we
did.
And now everyone's talking about penis rockets? We've been doing this for years, people!
Give us all of Jeff
Bezos'
money.
All the way back to season two, we've been playing this game. I've had a rocket on my clitoris for years.
I always feel like you think that your rocket is an actual rocket, Joe. I'm just going to go
mean,
there.
It does smell like gas fuel sometimes. No, it doesn't.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. All right. Okay. Just a couple left. Who's the top? Who's the bottom? iPad and iPhone.
iPhone.
Is the top.
No, I take that back. iPad. Because half the world doesn't think that iPads are necessary.
Tommy's
obsessed with his.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, so Tommy's obsessed with his iPad Pro. I think that I think this inverts our sizist logic.
Mm-hmm.
That the iPhone is actually the top, mm-hmm. and is always kind of consistently being used and played with, but the iPad is the precious bottom that has even better hardware than the top.
Okay, because that was a really great... You dug yourself out of a hole there, because I was about to be like, I'm sorry, did this turn into a Tops Right podcast?
No,
the last 30 seconds?
No.
Like the used and abused tops of the world?
Kill all tops. Genocide of tops.
I would like to preserve one.
Oh, I'm right here.
For my use.
Me.
Oh, God.
I'll be the one top
God.
Left.
Oh, this is actually your erotic dream.
Okay.
Your most erotic dream.
Is it true? Being the one top on planet Earth. Oh, the fatigue. Oh, the number of Viagras I would take all the time.
You would get so tired.
Last up. I hope this does not change by the time we air the show and this couple is still together, because I'm loving watching them thrive. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. Who's the top? Who's the bottom?
I love them too. I love the return. Bennifer 2.0. We're here for it.
I didn't see it coming.
Neither did I. I did not think she was going to go back to a white man, frankly.
Oh.
So Jen and I have lots of things in common, I guess.
Oh, no.
I am going to say, I think that's a power verse situation. So, I would argue that Ben tops more, but it's like a 60-40 split.
But the only thing I disagree with there is your use of the word power, because they both feel quite submissive to me. Just kind of like Rihanna and ASAP is like power verse, because like they're both, they have that vibe, that energy of like, I feel like Ben Affleck and J-Lo are just kind of like, meh.
I feel that way about Ben, but I don't know. J-Lo feels like, is she, to me, as powerful as Rihanna? Maybe not, but is she more powerful than, in my head, like a Taylor Swift? Yeah.
No, absolutely. But she feels a little too controlled to really be as sexual. It's like everything is, she's a Leo, everything is like gym. And then I was joking with my partner that like she wakes Ben Affleck up at 6 a.m. with like a celery shake, being like, get on the treadmill, bitch. and that he's on the treadmill running and sweating, and she's like, da 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 da, on her own treadmill, but just kind of dancing along, and just like has abs for no fucking reason at 52. It's like, she seems a little too controlled. She seems like, oh, if I have sex right now, I might not get in my, you know, micro diet meal of the afternoon.
And then she fucks him with the celery stalk.
Oh, okay,
that's what
that's
I think.
It. Game over. Game over, and we all lose.
Wow, 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 wowie.
All right, y'all. It's time for the thought process spelled THOT, where we get into the meat of our discussion. And this week, you know, we just had to show a little bit of love for some people in our past. We're looking back to our exes and not with animosity for once. Mm. We knew this queen before she was super famous and we loved her. We could not be more proud of our podcast cousin love, Bowen Yang, bringing her gorgeous, smart, idiotic, stupid ass, gay ass humor to SNL every week. And now she's nominated for a fucking Emmy. We had Bowen join us for a special live storytelling episode of Food for Thought, and we wanted to remind you just how funny she always is. I don't want to give you any spoilers about the end of this story, but we think this story is simply the best. Take it away, Bowen.
Okay, we're telling salacious stories. A few years ago, I'm at this cabaret show and I'm watching my friend Matt perform, do a couple numbers, but I was just on the apps. I had my bear traps out, and I'm not literal bears, but I had my bear, my traps out, I'll say. And I got a message, and it sort of like went past that first critical mass place of like, oh, okay, this is happening. Cool. Great. And so, and this hadn't happened in a while. I was working with like a year long dry spell.
Ooh.
So I was eligible to donate blood.
But did you?
Which is like this reverse Scarlet Letter, right? In like the gay community.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It's like, if your blood is not at risk, then it is your responsibility to change that. anyway, so I'd been working with this dry spell. I was like, yes, let's go, let's do this. I need this. And it was this guy, we'll call him Charles. Charles was in like his mid-30s, I'll say, was visiting from Taiwan. There was a little bit of a language barrier, which will come into play later.
Ready for it.
We make our arrangements, and because I'm a good friend first and a thirsty sex goblin second, I wait
better
for Matt's numbers. What's that?
Better than me.
Better. Yeah. Well, no, it's fine. It Same. takes a patient person. But I finally went over to Charles's hotel, and he opens the door. We go about our business, and in the throes of things, in the thick of things, he stops and he asks me if I have poppers. I say, no, I don't. But I'm fine. It's okay. I don't need them as the bottom. I don't need my bottom poppers. Okay. So
I hate it when people act as though being able to bottom without poppers. This is Joe for those listening on the podcast. Popper sommelier of the podcast. Poppers are great.
Poppers are great. Poppers are great. I mean, I will always take a popper, but when they're not, when they're not,
you don't
available,
carry them with you, is what you're saying.
I don't.
I have three in my bag right
Joe,
now.
Like, yeah, opens Joe opens up his coat. He opens up his coat. He's like, "You want a popper? You
guys, every time in the studio, every time." But I also say yes every time. So
that's amazing. You know what you do? You should the next time you're around heterosexual women. Just like Joel Kim Booster and I just do this little party trick where we just like have them do it. And
all the time.
It's so fun. And they're fascinated.
I was on a college campus and learned that there's this game that the youth play called Popper Slap, where they make straight people. The gay person makes a straight person do a 10-second hit of poppers. You both do a 10-second hit of poppers, and then you try to slap each other.
And then what's like, what's the
That's the
end game.
That is the end game. That's the game.
That sounds great.
Fun.
That sounds solid. Yeah, that sounds kind of hot, to be honest.
I'm so glad I'm not 18 anymore.
Are we all? I did not have poppers on my person. And so I was like, no, I don't. And then he says, neither do I. I said, no, I don't do you. He says, no, but I have something that will make you feel good.
So he
reaches into his duffel. He pulls out a dop kit. And then from that dop kit, he pulls out this little dime bag and like the daintiest glass pipe. And and I just didn't know, like those pamphlets from middle school did not stick with my brain. And so I just didn't really know what meth use looked like. Like I understood that it was this thing in the culture. Like, you know, you'd say you want to party, whatever. Yeah, well, did not know that colloquially either. Just like, but anyway, so he pulls this out and I ask him, and in the dime bag are these little crystalline flakes, like iridescent, beautiful flakes. And I was like, what is that? And this is where the language barrier comes back. He goes, I don't know what you guys call this in English. And I asked him, is it opium? And he said, what's that? And then I felt immediately racist for assuming a Taiwanese person would carry opium. But whatever.
No.
It's fine. I'm allowed. So just to like be easygoing about it, I'm like, sure, I'll smoke it. And so
yeah,
put that on Bowen's grave. Sure, I'll smoke
going. I go, sure, I'll smoke it.
Famous last words.
So I do it, and then I take a hit, and then he lights up the bulb. I take another hit for good measure, and then we proceed to have sex for the next 7 hours.
No,
Steve, what the fuck?
And
there was not enough lube in the world.
This just became like pure horror.
No.
Ah, exhausting.
It was so fun. I mean, it was very aerobic. We like jumped around. We moved furniture, like marveling at our own feats of stamina. It was great.
So ambitious.
Yes.
7 hours later, post-coital, I'm still not sure what I smoked, and I'm curious. I go, hey, Charles, do you still not know what that was called? What was in that pipe? And he goes, and he's really sort of like just rummaging mentally. And then he finally goes, oh, I think you guys call it tea. And this did not register with me. I just did not connect that with anything. I go, oh, okay. Not ringing any bells. What else? Like, do you know what other names this has or whatever? And
was
he goes,
Earl Grey, was it? T,
what?
What's that? Was it like Earl Grey?
Was it Earl Grey?
That is the oldest.
Was it sleepy time, but like the opposite?
He just became my 63-year-old white mother. Like, tea? Do you mean Earl Grey?
English breakfast, right?
Exactly. And then he was like, tea, like Tina. And I still wasn't landing with me. I was like, Tina Turner. Yes, thank you. Science. I was like, Tina, no, Tina, what? What are you talking about? And he finally goes, Christina. And that's when I was like, oh, like Crystal? And he goes, yeah.
Ugh.
And then I finally was like, so is it meth?
So is it meth?
And he has, so is it meth? And then he finally has this like horrifying eureka moment. He goes, oh yeah, man.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I took the G train home.
What other train would it be?
As
what
one does.
It's the most appropriate train for that.
As
thing,
one
right?
does.
As one does when they're still when they're on the meth come down.
On the meth come down.
We have all been there.
Absolutely.
No, Dennis, we have not.
Substantially, we all have.
On the G train.
Yeah.
On the G train.
And so I get home, and then, I mean, the come down wasn't that bad, actually. It was just, it was like, I spent the day in bed, and then, like, I just kept replaying the same, like, nightmare scenario, which was, like, my whole face, like, turned into a scab or something. anyway.
Google faces of
meth. And then my friends came over later that night, and we watched Grease Live, because that was
fun. Starring my horrible ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was good. It was really
shut
good.
Up, yeah. Shut up, shut up.
I was with it because of the meth. And,
Carly Rae Jepsen.
But anyway, this is all to say that, like, you know, and this is, and Joe, you might know this, meth and Adderall are molecularly almost identical. Meth just has an extra...
Pseudoephedrine, too, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Meth just has an extra alkyl group, which makes it more lipid-soluble, which makes it easier to cross the brain-blood barrier. But, like, you could theoretically use meth to treat the same things as you would Adderall, like fatigue, obesity, whatever. So anyway, I'm just saying, like, all it takes, you guys, to, like, tip the scale into, like, full, like, teeth falling out is one alcohol group, one methyl group. Sorry. It's methyl.
What you're saying is we should microdose meth?
Absolutely. no, don't do it. all it takes is an extra methyl group or a Taiwanese man who doesn't speak English very well to accidentally coax you into doing meth. But I think Charles did me a huge favor by, like, exposing me to that in a very nice, innocuous way. but, you know, there are some people who, like, really deal with it, and, like, it's hard, it's very rough, and so I'm just very fortunate that I was able to lightly dip my toe into the meth pool. All right, that's my story.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
I'm feeling full, but, like, I could fit just one more thing inside me. Den knows what I'm talking about. And for dessert tonight, Den, take it away.
Y'all. Okay, here's the thing. You know, we are still in this pandemic.
Yes.
We're all traumatized.
Indeed.
Many of us are working from home, though some of us are going back to the lab or the office once in a while. And I'm trying to bring some lessons with me that I learned during the pandemic for my own wellness and well-being. And I want to talk about the power of the nap.
Ooh, yes. I'm going to take one right now. Tell us, Den.
They are the fucking best. This is the thing. Before this pandemic, I had not had any work from home experience. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that mid-afternoon lull, God, when you're like, I could get a third cup of coffee, but then I'm just gonna have the jitters. But you're a little tired, your energy's low because you had a decent lunch, or maybe you had some donuts, which I still consider a decent lunch. And, you know, back in the day, if you were lucky enough to have an office door, you could close the door and get on the floor underneath your couch, your desk, rather, and crawl into the fetal position and act like you're ashamed of what you're doing.
I have fully taken an under-the-desk nap at work. Like, crawl under the desk, make a pillow out of my gym clothes, and go to sleep.
Ooh, must have been some smelly ass dreams.
It was not a sweet smelling nap. No.
No, but it's true. There were times in my last full-time job where there were three of us in the office, and I would just I had this large desk with this area, this section that was kind of close to the ground. I could put my feet up on there and I would kick back for 10 minutes and just put on the timer and take a little nap. But it really wasn't great. It was an anxious space for me. There were always people around. Mm-hmm. And now with the peace of working from home, I can literally just decide that with my hour that I'm going to take for lunch, I can shut my work computer, go to my room and lay down. And I'm so tempted to just like work through lunch when I'm like in an office. But when I'm home and I have that space and I have that time, if I can take, even if it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes
to just
sleep.
What's your ideal nap length?
My ideal nap is going to be between 30 and 60 minutes.
Okay.
I sleep very comfortably at that point.
So it depends very much on like, do I have more shit to do? Is it like a weekend nap? Weekend nap, an hour is great. But like the mid-afternoon nap, 22 minutes is the perfect number. You get rest and you wake up recharged, but you don't do that thing where sometimes when you wake up for a nap and you're like, is it day? Is it night? What is the world? Why am I hot? What is my body doing? It's just like you're too far gone to come back ever. It's like you're like, I might as well just go to bed. But if I go to bed now, I'm gonna wake up at 6 a.m. blah blah blah. 22 minutes, y'all. 22 minutes.
22. I love the specificity of that. It takes me a few minutes to like calm my brain down in the middle of the day. So like I'm not going to fall asleep in the first away. 5 minutes. It's going to take me about 10 minutes. So that's why I need to have the space of an hour, ideally.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
To go into it and then to come out of it. But if I can sleep solidly for 20 to 30 minutes, I am going to go through the rest of the day with so much energy and so much more productivity. Yes. And this is my favorite. This is specifically the favorite thing that I've found about working from home in this time is that I'm able to take naps and self-care for myself in a way that I had never thought I could. I napped a little when I was in college. That was the first time I kind of was like, oh, these things that I hated when I was a kid are actually like essential and awesome. And now I nap all the time.
Yeah, I've always struggled with insomnia. And one of the things, if you go to a doctor with insomnia, they tell you to not do is ever take a nap. So I was like religious about not taking naps. But I've discovered that the 15 to 22 minutes, it's not enough to fuck up my sleep later at night, but it is enough to just like be a jolt of energy. And it just, I feel so, the other thing about the nap is the nap itself is pleasurable. The mid-afternoon drifting off to sleep. And I will say, we had pets as a dessert maybe 2 weeks ago or whatever. My dog's name is Max, and we call them Max Naps. And just like he's a snuggler. He loves sleeping with us on the couch or in the bed. And just like 15 minutes of, even if you don't fully fall asleep, just that kind of space in between sleep and wake and being awake and then snuggling with an animal is just heaven.
Oh, he's just a sweet baby.
Thank you for that little delicious dessert, Den.
Always.
This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé and our new home here at Stitcher. Our producer is our number one thought who had surgery following a fisting injury, Alexandra De Palma.
It's true. It's true. Full top.
Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, or Den will actually finish her novel.
No, don't do it.
I'm Joseph Osmondson. You can find me at www.josephosmondson.com.
And I'm Den Michelle, and you can find me at The Den Michelle, THEDENNEMICHELE, on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can obviously find Teebs and Fran at their typical handles. You know what they are. Find us, our podcast, on Instagram as Gay Sluts Who Read or Gay Sluts Whore Ad, however your brain reads that one. And join us on Facebook if you're an old, and Twitter at Food for Thought Pod. And finally, send your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics to thoughts@foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number 4, and thought spelled how? THOT.
Bye, babies.
See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.